Moline, Ohio. We're glad you've decided to join us, and we hope you enjoy this week's message.
As I think back over the years that I've been attending church here, I recall many men of faith standing where I am now at communion time. They've shared brief devotions, they've led responsive readings, and offered prayer in this time that we gather together to remember the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus. I fondly recall the deacons passing the emblems throughout the rows, sharing the bread and the juice with all. In recent weeks, we've been passing communion a little bit different way, but it's passed nonetheless. As a congregation, we've many times used the communion service that's printed in the back of the hymnal or printed on an insert that has some updated language. The scripture that it contains comes from Paul's first letter to the church of Corinth, 1 Corinthians 11:23. For I received from the Lord that I also passed unto you. Or maybe you, like myself, might recall it in the King James Version, for I received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you. Paul's simple reminder reinforces that when he shared the gospel, he shared this time of remembrance. This simple reminder sets a standard for us as we go forward and we share the gospel. We would be amiss if we only shared that Jesus was born in a manger, the son of a carpenter who performed miracles, but we left out the betrayal of Judas and the mockery of those who would try him, those who he came to save. We wouldn't do the gospel justice if we spoke of the sight given to the blind or the paraplegic picking up his mat and walking, but we left out the sacrifice Jesus faced when he was separated from the Father. And we'd be lacking if we spoke of the Beatitudes and the parables, but we didn't include Jesus taking on our sins and suffering at the cross. As we gather today, we can be thankful for those who have shared the full gospel with us. And we can be thankful for them sharing this memorial time with us. We can be thankful that Jesus took this bread and he broke it so we would remember his body broken for us. And we can be thankful that Jesus took the cup, declaring the new covenant, so we would remember his blood shed for us. And we can also be thankful that we can remember that he loved each and every one of us enough to go to that cross on Calvary for us. Let's go to God in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we have this time, that we can gather around this table at your invitation. We're thankful that we have these emblems that have been placed before us, that we can use these emblems to remember the broken body of Jesus and the shed blood of Jesus. And we can remember that those aren't just bread and juice, that those are our reminder of the sacrifice that Jesus made for us, that he took on our sins, went to the cross of Calvary, was separated from you, dear Father, all for the payment of our sins. We ask that you be with each one of us, and we ask that we take this in a manner that brings glory to you. And we do ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, folks. Good to see you here in the service. Just a few announcements. Please look over the bulletin. I'm not going to look at all the announcements with you, but there's a few I want to call to your attention. Please notice Caring Hands is this week. If you know anyone who needs food, please let them know. That'll be this Thursday morning. It's a drive-through. You don't get out of your car from 9 o'clock to noon. And I would suggest people come after 11 o'clock. For some reason, people will come and get in line at 8 o'clock in the morning, and there's just no reason to do that unless you like to sit in your car and listen to the radio. But if they come between 11, 11:30, or even 11:30, they'll go through the line in 10 minutes. So if you know of anybody who needs food, please let them know that this will be available. Please, if you know anybody needs an absentee ballot, that needs to be something that's done pretty quickly here if they want that for our voting of leaders here in December. And we'd like to congratulate Edwin Blystone, who was baptized into Christ this past week, and want to welcome him as a member. Edwin's in the back pew. Wave, Edwin, so people can see you there. It's difficult for people to congratulate you and talk to you personally because of our social distancing, but we're so grateful that you made that wonderful decision. Please look over the prayer list in the back of the bulletin. Linda Barnett, the Steele New Hampshire Hospital, doing a little better the last few days. Hopefully we'll be coming home sometime near the end of the week. We hope that's the case. Please keep Linda and Carl in your prayers. Carol Bollinger has been moved to Covington. And when you look at Rich Hoon here, Rich is in Cleveland Clinic, and not in the Cleveland Clinic, he's in the VA hospital in Cleveland. Rich went in for his pacemaker just to have it changed, and they gave him an antibiotic so he would not get an infection, and that antibiotic caused him to swell up, and they thought he had a stroke. He was unconscious for a number of days, unresponsive for a number of days, had him on a respirator. The last few days he's been doing better, he's talking. They expect to move him out of ICU, I think, today. So he's doing better. Hopefully at the end of the week, they'll be able to put the pacemaker in, and he'll be able to be home by the end of the week. But it was a real close call for him. So please keep Richard in your prayers. All those folks, if you would, remember them with your cards and phone calls too. Today I'm finishing up a two-week sermon series on the kingdom of God. And what I want to do is review this a little bit, because some of you weren't here last week, and we just need to remember a few things that were said, just a few minutes of review. Last week, we noticed that the word kingdom in the Bible can mean a number of different things. It can mean heaven. It can mean the kingdom of Satan. It can mean an earthly kingdom, like the Assyrian kingdom. Or it can mean God's sovereign kingdom. God is king over all things. He's king over angels and demons and believers and non-believers. It can mean all that. We determine the meaning of the word kingdom by the context in which we find the word. With that said, most of the time, the word kingdom in the New Testament refers to the church. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 says, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness," notice this, "and has brought us into his kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sins." So many times in the Bible, in the New Testament, you can exchange the word kingdom for church. They refer to the same group of people. Jesus spoke frequently about the kingdom and about its citizens. So it's important that we understand something about the kingdom of God. So I'm using an acrostic that will help us understand that. We're looking at the word kingdom itself. Last week we noticed that Jesus calls us to make the kingdom a priority. Kingdom first. Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." The kingdom needs to be a priority in our life. The I stands for inclusive. No matter who you are, no matter what you have done in the past, no matter what race or nationality, your social standing, Jesus says you're welcome. He wants you in his kingdom. N stands for not of this world. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." So last week we noticed two ways the kingdom is not of this world. One, it is everlasting. Now, you're a citizen of the United States right now, but you're not going to be a citizen forever because the United States isn't going to last forever. You lose your citizenship when you die. Now I understand in the past there have been some people who have been dead and I believe voted, but you're not supposed to be able to do that. But when you're a member of God's kingdom, you know, it's an eternal kingdom. You will remain a member of the kingdom here and in heaven. And of course, there's another way that it's not of this world, and that is the citizens are not of this world. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. We don't have the same philosophy. We don't have the same thinking. We don't have the same standard for truth that the world does. So we are to live differently than the world. Okay, that takes us to the letter G. G stands for generosity flows. God's kingdom is different than the kingdoms of the world. When you look into history, most kingdoms were about conquering and plundering and about accumulating and stockpiling. But in God's kingdom, generosity flows like a river. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 says, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give as you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." Now, the idea here is not that you give, that God will bless you. The idea here is that as Christians, we have a different attitude than the world. We are to be a generous people. Acts chapter 20, verse 35 reminds us that Jesus said it is more blessed to give than to receive. Not only are you blessed, but others are blessed. Years ago, there was a little girl named Hattie Wyatt. She was standing outside a small church in Philadelphia, and she was crying. It was a Sunday morning. The preacher looked out the window and saw the little girl crying, went out and said, "Hey, what's wrong? Are you hurt? Are you okay?" And little Hattie said, "I tried to go to Sunday school, but it was too crowded. They did not have room for me." So the preacher took her in and found room. But little Hattie was always worried that there might not be room for other children who wanted to come to Sunday school. 2 years later, Hattie was found dead in her room. Her parents didn't go to church. They called the preacher to do the funeral. They gave the preacher a little red purse with 57 cents in it and a little note that Hattie had written. And the note said, "I'm saving this money to build a bigger building so kids will always be able to go to Sunday school." Well, the preacher knew what he had to do with that. He took it before the congregation, he read the note, and he challenged the people to give the money to build a bigger building. Well, the newspaper got a hold of it, and a realtor read about it, and he called the preacher and said, "I think I have the land that you need to build your new building." So the preacher and the elders went to look at the land. And it was a corner lot. It was a perfect spot, plenty of acreage, but certainly way too expensive. And the preacher said, "I'm sorry, we'd never be able to afford this land." And the man said, "Well, it only cost 57 cents. So he sold him the land, 57 cents, and today there in Philadelphia stands a church building that seats 3,300 people, all because little Hattie had a dream and was generous with what she had. Your generosity will impact people more than you ever know. D in kingdom stands for disciplines. Discipline. A discipline is a practice that we do regularly. It is a habit that we do that helps us grow spiritually. It's not just an attitude, it's something that we do. There are many disciplines that we can do that will help us grow in our spiritual life. But in Acts chapter 2, 42, we read about four of them that the early church practiced. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking of bread, and prayer. So here are four disciplines that we need to devote ourselves to. The first one is the Word of God. Now, here in the text, it's called the apostles' teaching, but that is the Word of God. We need to set time aside to read the Word of God. Now, listen, I know some people say, "Oh, it's hard. I don't understand it." Well, years ago, when you only had the King James could be difficult to read because it was Old English. But today, with the modern translations, most of the Bible is not difficult to understand. There are some passages that can be hard, but most of it, 95% of it, you'll be able to read and understand what God is asking you to do. You'll be able to understand the stories. Just need to set the time aside to read it. Psalm 119:11 says, "I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." We need to devote ourselves to the Word of God. Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes out of the mouth of God." So we need to discipline ourselves to make sure that we read, that we study the Word of God. The next thing we need to do is we need to fellowship. They devoted themselves to fellowship. During the last 8 months, we've come to realize how important fellowship is. Because of COVID-19, our fellowship has completely changed. Look, when did we ever have ropes going up and down the pews? When did you have to sit apart and socially distance yourself? We don't hug. We don't shake hands. We don't stop and talk in the hallways. We don't have near as many outings and service and programs that we had in the past. You read in your bulletin, we're not having our Thanksgiving dinner that we usually have. We don't get together in groups and go places. We don't have Sunday school. Our fellowship is not what it used to be. Maybe this has been good because it helps us to see what we've been missing and how important the fellowship really is. We do make the best of the situation. We talk on the phone, we text, we send cards, we Facebook, we Twitter, we FaceTime. All this is great, but it's not the same. Most of you know I have a daughter who lives in California, Chelsea. She lives there with her family. I have two granddaughters, Junie, who's a year old, and Everly, who's 3 years old, and my son-in-law lives out there too. Anyhow, it's wonderful to be able to FaceTime my daughter and family. And Junie's only one, but when we FaceTime, she'll blow us kisses. And Everly is old enough that she'll take the phone and she'll take us into her bedroom and show us her toys, and she'll change her clothes for us, and she does somersaults and she sings. That's all wonderful. It's great. I'm glad we have FaceTime. Years ago, it was a telephone. That was it. So really appreciate this. A week or so ago, Everly wanted Sarah to read her books. So Sarah got some books and read her two or three books on FaceTime, and that was great. But you know what? It's not the same as being there in person. We used to travel once or twice a year, sometimes three times a year. Chelsea and family would come here. The FaceTiming is wonderful, but it's not the same as being in person. Not the same as having the kids sitting on your lap, helping you turn the pages, looking up at you and smiling. Not the same. Fellowship is so important, and maybe we've learned over this period of time how important our Christian fellowship is. I'm grateful that we have this ability to do what we do, but virtual hugs are not the same as real hugs. So hopefully soon we'll be able to get back to the type of fellowship that we've had in the past. We'll do our best at the moment. Fellowship is something that we need to devote ourselves to. We also need to devote ourselves to the Lord's Supper. Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. He told us to do it in remembrance of him. As we read through the New Testament, it's very clear that the New Testament church had the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. You know, we get so busy throughout the week doing our things with the kids, with work, with whatever we do, that we don't always focus as we should on the sacrifice Christ made for us. And God, being as smart as he is, set this time aside for us each week. So when we come here Sunday, it gives us an opportunity. As we take the Lord's Supper, it reminds us to think about how we acted last week. Were we doing what God wanted us to do? It helps us to think about maybe the sins we've committed, and reminds us to ask forgiveness for our sins, to confess our sins to God. It reminds us that we need to thank God for what he has done for us. It's a weekly discipline, and one that we should not miss. And then the last discipline is that of prayer. How many of you know what the shortest verse in the Bible is? Somebody yell it out to me. Jesus wept. You know, that's always one you memorize in Sunday school because it was the shortest. There's the second shortest verse in the Bible, though, also only has two words. Who knows what that is? Anybody? It also only has, it's the second shortest because it has more letters, but only has two words. Found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 17, it says, pray continually. A short verse, but extremely important. God wants us to pray. Prayer is powerful. Dave Phillips and his wife, Lynn, started the Children's Hunger Fund from their garage back in January of 1992. They were not rich, but they spent much time in prayer in this. They raised some money, and they started the Children's Hunger Fund. They started the fund so they could get food and medical supplies to children in need. Today, millions of people are fed through the Children's Hunger Fund. Dave said just 6 months after they started the fund, he received a call from a doctor in Honduras. This doctor needed medicine for 7 kids. He said, if they don't receive this medicine, they're going to die. I can't get the medicine. Can you get the medicine for me? Well, Dave never heard of this particular medicine. But he prayed with the doctor. He said he'd call around to see what he could do, but he could not promise anything. He hung up the phone. Before he left the room, the phone rang. It was a pharmaceutical company. They had 48,000 vials of a certain medicine that they wanted to give him. You know what medicine it was? It was the same medicine that doctor called and asked for. Not only did they want to give him the medicine, they promised that they would ship it free of charge anywhere in the world. So he shipped it to Honduras, and then he shipped it to 20 other locations in the world. He found out later there were only two pharmaceutical companies in the whole United States that made that type of medicine. One called and gave him 48,000 vials. Prayer changes things. 1 John chapter 5 says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God. That if we ask anything, now this is important, this next part, according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have of him. So these are the disciplines that we need to incorporate into our life. Studying the Word of God, fellowship, the Lord's Supper, and prayer. These things will help us grow spiritually. Then the O in kingdom stands for others first. We live in a me-first society, don't we? Stephen Ritchie wrote about an incident that he observed on an airplane. The plane was delayed taking off because one of the passengers got sick. A man had a bout with asthma, a very severe attack, almost died there on the plane, and the attendants were taking care of him, the flight attendants. And they were delayed. They were on the for about 15 minutes. And one of the passengers, a woman, was so upset by this, she got up and walked up to the flight attendant and said, "What's going on?" And the flight attendant said, "This man is having a severe asthma attack. Medical staff's coming on to help him." And the woman went ballistic. She said, "I'm on vacation. I paid for this ticket. It's already been 15 minutes. I deserve to get going on my vacation. Get this man off the airplane." Well, they got somebody off the airplane, but it wasn't that man. But you know people like that. We live in a me, it doesn't matter what's going on in other people's lives. We live in a me-first society. If you don't think that's the case, ask a teacher, ask a teller or a waitress or cashier or a receptionist or a policeman. Ask anybody who deals with the public. Just talk to them just a little bit and they'll give you story after story about how we live in a me-first world, how selfish some people can be. A number of years ago, we went to Applebee's for lunch. In Chippewa, you know where that is, and parked along the side, front of the building, and there's a sidewalk that runs along the front, then you make a right, and you go down a sidewalk into the building. Well, we're walking into the building, and as we were, this car came around the corner and stopped there in front of the door. Now there's a sidewalk, and there's a parking space, and then the car stopped. And the woman got out, and she ran around to the front of the car, and her eyes caught my eyes. And I knew what she was doing. She wanted to get to that door before we got to the door because she wanted to get in there and be seated before we were seated. I don't know if they hadn't eaten for a long time. I don't know why this was so important to them, but she had to beat me to that door. And I want to tell you, she bent over. She put her purse in her arm like it was a football. She could have been a fullback for the Cleveland Browns. Before she took off, she snorted, you know. And she hoofed it toward that door. But I was closer. And I just had to walk a little faster. And I beat her to the door. And boy, the look that she gave me, if looks could kill. And I grabbed that handle and I opened the door and I said, "Let me hold the door open for you." And she went in. And man, was she confused. But we live in a me-first society, and you know that to be true. I know if we took time, you could share stories about how you've confronted people, me first people. But God calls us to be different. As his people in this kingdom, he calls us to be different. Others are first. And maybe the passage that tells us that more than any other passage is found in Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 3. "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves." World doesn't think like that. That's how kingdom citizens think. Value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. In your relationship with one another, have the same attitude as Christ Jesus. What was his attitude? "Who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in an appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross." If Jesus had been looking out for himself, he never would have left heaven. He never would have come to earth to die upon the cross to save us from our sins. But he was looking out for us. And that's what God calls us to do as kingdom citizens. It's others' folks first, even though we live in a Me Too world. And finally, the M stands for mission. Jesus gives us a mission. In Matthew 28, Jesus said, "All authority." Oh, I'm going to get this so you can see it here. Excuse me a second. Let's see if we can get it back. "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." This is our mission. Our mission is to share the good news of Jesus Christ with other people. Evangelism was a priority in Jesus' life. It was his highest priority. Jesus had a mission statement. We read about it in Luke chapter 19, verse 10. "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Now, Jesus did all kind of good things, compassionate things while he was here in this world. But the main reason Jesus came was to seek and save the lost. And his mission has become our mission. It's something that we do as a church, as a body. We do it through our services. We do it through our small groups. But it is also something that we need to do as individuals. We are called and we are commanded to share the good news with others. God sacrificed his only one and only son to save the world, and he wants us to share that. You know, we get a good deal on a car and we tell people about it. We go to a restaurant, we like the food, we tell people about it. We find a good doctor, we're quick to say to a friend, is your doctor good? Listen, my doctor's great. We tell him about it. And when we find one who can take away our sins and give us eternal life, we need to tell our friends about it. Jesus gives us a simple plan. He gives us an example. In Acts chapter 1, he's speaking to the apostles. In verse 8, he says to the apostles, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. In other words, he's saying to the apostles, listen, when you go to share the good news about me, start right here where you are. Start right here in Jerusalem. Then move to the outskirts of Jerusalem. Then to all of Judea. Then to Samaria. Then go everywhere. Same is true with us. We need to start where we are. We start in our own home, with our own family, with our parents, with our kids, with our spouse, with the in-laws, with the uncles and the aunts. And we move out to the neighbors and to our community. But the thing is, we need to share the good news. Even though it's difficult, even though people don't always want to hear it, we need to share it. You know, if we knew of a drug that cured cancer, we would share it. Even if people did not want to hear us talk about it, we would talk about it. We would not be timid. We would boldly tell people about it. We never stop talking about it. We'd be excited. The news would be too good to keep quiet. But here's the thing. Our news is better. If we knew about a drug that cured cancer, even though we could tell somebody about that, they might not die of cancer, but they're going to die with something else. But our news is better because we have news about eternal life, how sins can be forgiven, and how somebody can live in heaven forever. That's great news. We must tell that news to others. That's our mission. So think about kingdom. When you think about the word kingdom, remember K stands for kingdom first. I for inclusive. Everyone is welcome. N for not of this world. We act differently than the world acts. D is for disciplines. G, generosity flows. O, others first. And M, mission. If you remember this acrostic and you apply it to your life, you'll be a good citizen in the kingdom of God. We're going to close our service here in just a moment. Usually we would have an invitation hymn, and if you needed to come up and confess that you believe in Christ and in repentance of your sins be baptized in Christ, we would take your confession and baptize you today. But because of COVID, we're not doing that. But once you understand, the invitation is extended, and if you need to make that decision to be baptized into Christ, just see me after the service, and we'll set up a time that we can do that. There's no more important decision that you'll ever make in your life. What we're going to do now is I'm going to have a closing prayer, and then we're going to ask the people in the balcony, if you would please leave first, and then our ushers will let you folks out a row at a time. Let's close with the prayer. Father, we're grateful that we're part of your family. We're grateful that you love us so very much, and we're grateful that you allow us to be a member, a citizen of your kingdom. Help us, Father, to understand what that means and understand that we are to be different than the world. Help us as we leave today to go out and set an example. In Christ's name we pray.
If you'd like to join us in person, we're currently meeting at 9 and 10:30 on Sunday mornings and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Check out our website at cocep.org for current info on services and social distancing guidelines. Have a great week.